They gotta, you know, Star Wars, they gotta announce their news on a Monday afternoon, knowing that we have shows on Sundays. But regardless of that, we're gonna report about the new name for Episode 8, as well as talk all about Star Wars Catalyst, a Rogue One story. Stay with us.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Jedi Alliance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga told on film and beyond. I am one of your hosts, the Internet's Mark B. Donica, and you can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Joined, as always, by the one, the only, Michael Young.
What up, y'all? Check it. You can hit me up wherever you want to on Twitter. O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A.
It's a much better cover than I ever had.
So hey, I try.
Congratulations. Joining us on the couch this week, not Alexis Torres, but the host of Sci-Fi Weekly right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. He is the one, the only, Mr. Zach Wilson.
Hey, I'll try to be almost as excited as Alexis.
Nice. Oh, yes. Yeah, good luck.
I'll never make it.
So, Zach, you've been on the show previously, not in its current incarnation, but tell the folks at home a little bit about you and your Star Wars knowledge and how that inspired your sci-fi-ness.
I mean, I grew up on Star Wars. Like, I think I said it at the last time. Like, I liken Star Wars to breathing in that it's not something I am always thinking about, but it's always there.
Yeah.
It's just like the Force. Yeah, exactly. I am Star Wars is a language I learned at 2 years old. I'm a big Star Wars fan. I just trilogied it like 2 weeks ago.
Really?
I feel like doing this.
Well, something about the holiday season, and I think also Rogue One brought everybody back to the original trilogy pretty succinctly. So today is mostly going to be talking about Catalyst. We've been talking about it for weeks on end. I finally got the book. I was the irresponsible one who didn't finish reading it until today. Michael's been cleared. Zach's been cleared for quite some time. Alexis is spending some time with her beau. So that's why she's not here this week. Yeah, they're down in San Diego. Wonderful people having a
love in the
time.
Galaxy.
But the biggest news of the week was the fact that we got our episode 8 title. And I don't know when it was, but on an episode recently, I was like, yeah, it's about the time when they announced The Force Awakens. So, I wonder when that's going to happen. And here we are, sitting at The Last Jedi. Let's get it out of the way. Everybody says it. Jedi's a plural as well as a singular. Whatever. Moving on. What do you think the title refers to? Let's start with Zach because he is our guest today.
I think I agree with everybody saying Jedi is plural. Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense. I think this is just the same way that it's sort of like we may not have Sith anymore from the looks of it. I think Jedi, as in the Jedi Order, may be completely done with the end of Luke. But we may get something new to take its place.
That's a solid
theory. So even though Force warriors fighting for good will continue, I think that this is the end of the Jedi.
All right.
That's how I took it.
Solid. What do you got, Michael?
Well, first, before I get started, I have to say, Disney, Lucasfilm, you know we have a show on Sunday.
You know
we got a show on Sunday.
Come on.
I got to call you down here to tell you these things. Tell us on Sunday before our show, Saturday, maybe Friday, but don't wait until after our show. Then we got to wait.
Send everybody home on the weekend with a nice bit of news going, I know what Star Wars is called. That's not a Monday. I mean, I guess for Monday morning, that's something to be like, hey, I know you got a bad week coming. Give me a little bit of Star Wars. A
little bit. Little
it's the kind of news that, like, if it's good, it can be like, this is a good week.
Yeah.
Kicks you off the road. But if it had been a bad title, we all would have looked,
kicking trash cans.
Revenge of the Naboo.
But The Last Jedi, this is, and you know, speculation is always crazy, but I'm envisioning you got Luke trying to halfway train Rey while the First Order is seriously hunting them down. And when I say seriously, like, the rebels can't protect them, they can't hide them, they're on the run, and stakes are extremely high.
Yeah.
And they are, or, you know, maybe Finn, we don't know where he falls because he broke I guess the mental hold they had, you know, the so maybe there's a little force there. We don't know.
Well, but, I think much like Leia, he's sensitive and has something.
Yeah. So, but we're looking at The Last Jedi, which is Luke, the last real Jedi, and then the last possible Jedi trying to stay alive, mm-hmm. To actually build the order back
build
something.
Well, yeah, technically, I mean, Yoda says it himself, you know, the last Jedi you will be.
Yeah.
So that we've got that little bit of history with the title as well. Mm-hmm. But Luke is the last Jedi to be trained by the order.
Yeah.
By a true Jedi.
Yeah.
Because, like, Luke, like, I talked to a lot of people about it this week, and people are very adamant, or people are very convinced of their opinions, which one way or the other,
sure.
whether Luke qualifies as a Jedi.
You know what? Would it? That's a good one for a whole other show. Because would he be considered would he be considered a Jedi Knight, or a Jedi Master? Because I mean, he really didn't have much to test his mettle against.
I think
you know. Then at the same time, he tested against Vader, you know, and brought him back to the light for about 2-3 minutes. But I mean, you know, so.
I would classify him as a Jedi Knight, probably not a master.
Yeah.
But in the intervening years, I feel like he's probably studied enough. If he's been going to Jedi temples and studying what works he could find.
Yeah, but that's like ordering a diploma off of the internet and signing. Yup, oh, man. I graduated.
Well, the holocrons. Hopefully, if he got a held or something, because I don't remember everything.
The Empire
in the comics.
Either kept them or destroyed them.
All right, because I remember in the comics he went got one of the Force trees or one of the pieces of the Force trees in one of the comics, but there wasn't any holocron in that. They did protect a temple, but I don't remember any holocron there either. So maybe he didn't have access to any.
What if he's been training with Sith and Jedi holocrons? That big purple stuff that we saw in Rebels.
Good point.
Man, what are some of the folks in the chat saying about the title? We have any good theories?
Slim413.
What up?
Slim. Let's just go with Slim.
Yeah, I think Luke can write "Are the Last Jedi" by the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else do we have in here? And they say Luke is a Jedi Master.
Okay.
All right.
Fine. Chill. Ray Bob says Luke doesn't have a title. That's an old thing from the Republic time. Luke is post that. So he's just like beyond the point where a title would even apply.
Okay.
Since there is no Jedi, that's the other question. Yeah. Since there is no Jedi Order, can there be Jedi
Masters? Jedi? Yeah. But that goes into your theory, which I think I like the most. It's pretty solid. I regardless, we have a heading, and people are going to be talking about this. It's such a simple discussion topic that can splinter off into, is there any Kyber left? Like, you know, things of that nature. Speaking of Kyber,
there's a large tome in which they go into detail about these Kybers.
Yeah, because I mean, if the Kyber was at the heart of both Death Stars, which exploded. Maybe fragments have blasted across
the galaxy.
Yeah, and then, you know, small shards here and there, and, you know, but then...
So we're going to transition a little bit into Catalyst. We have learned essentially everything that you could have wanted or not wanted to know about how the Death Star was built.
Yes.
So, but that now begs the question, do you think they used Galen Erso's notes... In building Starkiller Base, or do you think that was all brand new science? We use the power from the sun to charge that, but do we need like dish science? And okay, let's think about that one.
Does the energy from the sun have to be stored in a Kyber?
I don't know, but that's the thing is they went straight past science when it came to Starkiller Base. It's just Death Planet, not Death Star. Star Wars. Let's start. From the beginning, Star Wars Catalyst, a Rogue One story. Yes. This takes place. It starts in the middle of the Clone War, And goes all the way up to maybe, it's not determined what the break in between the end of the book and the beginning of Rogue One is, but it's not too long. I would figure years, months, if not years.
The timeline of the book?
At the end of the book to the beginning of Rogue One.
Oh, yeah, it'd be like 4 years?
Something like that?
5 years? Because she's already running around. Like, she looked like she'd probably be like first grade.
Yeah, but
yeah, because she was young,
but she wasn't a baby at the end of the book.
Yeah, so at the end of the book, like she could talk
and run around. So full disclosure, this is going to be we are going to talk about some spoiler stuff, but ultimately it does lead into Rogue One. So if you were interested in reading the book, but want to hear a little bit more in depth about it, stick around. We're going to talk about that. But if you don't want this spoiled, there's a warning. We're going to be talking about things in this book.
Yes.
So while folks are catching up to that point, general thoughts about the book, Michael? And how did you read it or did you audiobook it?
I did the audiobook.
Okay.
Because I like, you know, the effects, the music and all that, and the voices put in there. Also, you know, with LA traffic, it's great to just throw it in the car. And you can listen to it while you go and everything, knock out 30 minutes here, hour there, blah, blah, blah. The book is okay. Mm-hmm. There's some stuff that I really liked about it, but I think the book, I don't think it hit me like I thought it was supposed to hit me due to all of the hype around it, all of the reviews or I guess... first reactions that I heard from people, you know, across the internet space, mm-hmm. on Twitter or on YouTube or whatever, I thought that it was going to hit me harder than it did.
Zach?
I did the audiobook as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's how I've read, I've read, five of those.
So now you did that with Lost Stars.
I did it with all of the ones that I've read.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Because I spend a lot of time in my car.
Yes.
But... I enjoyed it. It took a long time for me to get into it.
Yeah.
I thought it was very slow moving at the beginning. Like, it kicked off nice, and then I got, almost hard to listen to. Like, hard to read at, certain points. Just like, all right, let's get to something. Something in motion. Something moving forward. And then, the back half of the book, I got my attention a lot more. But it was just, there was a slog in the middle.
Yeah, I think so.
But it led into Rogue One wonderfully.
Yeah.
And for me, I actually finished listening to the audiobook in the theater before I saw Rogue One the first time.
Wow.
It just lined up time-wise, how long it was taking me to listen to, or it was I could have finished it maybe half a day before, but I held on to the last 30 minutes and just the last 5 minutes I was sitting there with my phone in my ear
cool.
All right, put it down till the movie starts.
That's really cool. That's an experience that I think very few have done, you know. I agree with y'all. I thought the book was okay. There were definitely times where I went, what time is it? Where am I? I gotta put this down. But there seemed to be, up until the very end, a character here and there where you're just like, why is this character here? Should I care about this character? And there's a smuggler character named
Has
Orbit. So naming a character that's a regular word, that's just a word, I had to stop a couple times because it would start a sentence
Is it Orbit or Obit?
I think it's Obit, but I mean... Okay. Has the the name has. And the word.
It was kind of weird. Yeah.
Starting off starting off a sentence with has. I don't know if it was the name. It was like, what is this grammar? Oh, it's the person. So
has been
or bet, obet. It was fine. It was good. Is this necessary reading to watch Rogue One? No.
Mm.
Is it necessary listening? Maybe borrow the last half an hour from somebody and listen to that. There'll be a couple of folks that you may not understand, but some lovely cameos. I liked hearing more Clone Wars era society stuff.
Yeah, yes. That was really interesting
uh-huh.
to hear. Just because it reminded me of that that whole shift. One of the positive things of the trilogy, the idea that side shifted. who you were rooting for shifted between those set of movies and this set, and they're going to shift around, and it could shift around again.
I liked how essentially the book is about Orson Krennic tricking Galen Erso into working on the Death Star, utilizing kyber crystals, which they have now have the Empire now has huge access to because
no one's protecting them.
No one's protecting them, so they've got these huge crystals that they just can't quite crack. But Galen Erso is up to the task, and we get to learn a little bit more about his character. We get to learn a little bit more about Lyra, and I think if this was a book like Tarkin, but it was called Krennic, and it was just Orson Krennic, I probably would have been a little bit more intrigued, because his parts were like mental gymnastics of, this guy is a master manipulator, he's been
him
working...
Him and Tarkin,
oh, man.
I really like those parts.
Because, like, in the movie, it was hard to choose a side, because we know Tarkin. We know very little about Krennic, but these guys seem to have a past, and you learn about the past in the book. Mm-hmm. But now, if there's anything that I want to go back and watch from Rogue One, it's the scenes between the two of them, knowing what they went through in this book.
Yeah.
So, I was all about that, seeing what Krennic did from the Clone Wars all the way up to the events of Rogue One was the most interesting thing. This didn't make me care more about Jyn. This didn't make me care more about Lyra or Galen. I like how I know...
It almost outlined... I'm going to get in trouble for this.
So
outlined...
Be diplomatic.
How not exciting Galen's character is.
What, are you saying he's a nerd?
No, you can be a nerd and be exciting. It just wasn't... when they ran down his life and like, oh, he learned how to do this and he was smart when he was in school and, you know, his parents were blue-collar workers and stuff. I was just like, I don't care. But I was like, Tarkin and Krennic, I was like, yes, give me that. Like, the setup and all that, I was like, oh, what?
And especially at the very end, that set up their first scenes together when it was Tarkin sending Obit back... to be a double agent, but the Krennic was like, he's in trouble, I know a thing, and like them thinking they know what's happening, and they're just like, it's their interactions is like they're both trying to solve a Rubik's Cube at the same time as fast as they can before the other person does.
Yeah, and
that would be more interesting than this book. I'm just kidding.
It was for me, having like reading it before I saw the movie, like it made that first scene pop a little bit more.
I'm sure. Because,
like, I already had this emotional connection to Galen. It was my question to people, like, after I saw the movie, was like, so you don't know who these people are. Like, I already had, like, had an emotional journey with them. So I connected to Galen and Lyra, but, like, I kept asking people, like, did you care about those people? Because you only saw them for, like, 5 minutes. So it helped in that, like, reading it beforehand, like, really helped set up their characters. But it, like... So it made you care about Jyn a little bit in reference to them, but it just like didn't. It was the kind of thing like it felt like there was just so much information that they were like, well, we'll put that in the book. That I felt like they actually needed on screen.
Well, speaking to the two of y'all, since you listened to the audiobook, how did the voices compare to the movies? Did they have different actors and actresses?
No, it was just the one narrator.
All right.
Yeah.
And how did they do voices for those characters?
Yeah, but it, you know.
I mean, when it's a single narrator, it helps, and a good narrator can help bring those characters to life. But it doesn't really, like, color your voice of them the same way as if, like, they had the Rebels book.
Yeah,
That came out like that. They had the whole voice cast for. Wait, that was really unique.
The Ahsoka book?
No. What was the first one?
A New Dawn.
Yes, A New Dawn.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is a take on a different book, but the book really didn't hit me. I didn't think A New Dawn was the greatest book, but I'm still waiting to see the Hera and the Kanan from that book. in the animated series.
We'll get there.
Because that book is like, they're more mature. And,
we're,
but
we're also not talking about that book.
Yes.
Thank you. I really want to hear that book now. But regardless, the thing that struck me a lot about Catalyst is that there was so much of learning about how Galen's mind works that we didn't need to take with us into Rogue One. Because we only got him, as the character in like the last two pages where Lyra goes, he's back. We got him back. He's the father. He's the man I love. He's all of this.
Yeah.
That's the character that we got in Rogue One. We didn't get the scientist. So I don't... It's weird to... Like, they established early on that these two parts of his character make the whole of him. But by spending all of our time in that area, we didn't... I don't think it allowed us to care for him as... I care for Lyra a lot more than I cared for Galen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he doesn't have the... Part of what's difficult about his character is that, like, when you read... Like, him, as he reads in the book, he doesn't really have huge emotions.
Nah.
He's sort of... They almost play him like he's on the spectrum in the book. At least that's how I read it.
Like, yeah, he's like very...
They talk about how Lyra has to translate for him.
Yeah.
And that's a very much like something that people who have some form of like autism or similar mental illness have to deal with. They have to have somebody that understands what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
They didn't lean into it as much as I thought. When they set that up at the beginning,
yeah,
I thought they were going to lean into that a lot heavier. They didn't. But it did... I understood their connection so well from that idea that like she is the only person who was able to understand his worldview, because it's the way that he saw the world was through the science angle that nobody else fully understood, and that was like, I got that and I connected to him because of that. I understood what he was struggling with.
What were you gonna ask?
I almost feel like this book could have been handled in about like a 15-minute featurette that comes in the Blu-ray for Rogue One. I feel like this whole book could have been handled in like a nice little 15, maybe 20-minute featurette, you know, with the Blu-ray. It's like, oh, this is the beginnings, or they could just call it Catalyst, the Catalyst featurette. And because the novel is, it gets long.
There's so much that... It feels like he submitted a short story and then went, no, we want a full book. And he went, okay.
He was like, but it's not really, there's not really enough. Because, like, the government stuff I really loved. Mm-hmm. Like, the transition stuff with the Clone Wars.
And turning from senators to, like, the vizier. And
stuff. Yeah. And then changing? Also the stuff between Tarkin and Krennic is, like, great. Yes.
I love it.
Choice. But then you have, like, Galen, I think because they're hanging this story kind of, a lot of this story on Galen's shoulders, especially when he's in lockup.
When he's in the clink.
You know?
Yeah. when he's
locked down.
On vaulty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, even the discussions that he has with the lady that's jailing him, it's kind of cool, but I don't think he's, at least on written word or in the audiobook, I don't think he's enough to carry this narrative.
Yeah.
And I think that hurt it, because when Krennic or Tarkin would come in, I'd be right back in there.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is cool. They hate each other. And even even Haz Obit was able to get away by playing them against each other. Mm. Like, that's cool that they hate each other, but they can't realize that them hating each other is what messed up this whole plan for them.
Yeah.
I mean, at first.
Yeah.
You're right, though. The book goes on a little bit too long because it spends so much time. And I'm somebody who loves world building and, like, getting into that, like, weird, deep science stuff, like, fake science for, like, the imagined worlds that we have. Like, in any story that I'm invested in. But this did so much. Like, I know more about Kyber crystals than I ever needed to. For the sake of any of these stories, like, I just, it, it didn't, it like they put in all these things about how they're alive and they control the fort, and then it never really felt like it paid off in a strong
they just way. Kept finding more information, and it's just information, and like the story implications, it's weird. This if there's something that this has in common to me with Rogue One, it's that it doesn't leave you satisfied until you watch the movie. So, like, with this, it's like, oh, well, how does that pay off? Watch Rogue One. Then you watch Rogue One. Oh, well, how does that pay off? Oh, well, watch Episode 4. Oh, well, how does that... And then it just keeps going. Keeps cycling.
It's how they keep you watching.
But something else that, like, speaking to that, my favorite instance of the... First of all, we didn't get why... Something that I was looking forward to that mm-hmm. we didn't get was we didn't get, like... Jin being gifted the little kyber crystal that she has in the movie. Yeah. Like, we didn't get, like, oh, this is something that your dad gave you, like, to remember this time in your life when we, you know, we were living kind of nice, we were in downtown Coruscant, all that stuff. Never got that established until the very end.
Didn't that happen in the movie?
Well, I mean...
Lyra hand it to her?
Yeah, just, here, take this thing. But they didn't say, like... I gave Lyra this kyber crystal the day we were married. Like, it didn't add... Yeah. Like, there was... In the movie, there's no payoff for that, and it doesn't even set up for the lack of payoff that it has in the movie.
Yeah, and, like, I was watching that necklace, like, specifically when I was having read the book. I'm like, oh, my God, she's got a kyber crystal around her neck? Like, does that mean that, like, is that going to, like, imbue her with the Force? Because we spent all this time in the book talking about how much Force,
yeah, like, maybe if she's around it long, like, enough or something. Or...
They never used the word midichlorians in the book, right?
No, they didn't.
But they were like...
New Story Group has stayed far from that word.
Use it, dude.
They have gone far from that word.
Because they basically just spent the whole time explaining that these crystals are, like, made of midichlorians. That's, like... That's basically what they established without using the word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. Like, that's an interesting idea of, like, a solidified piece of the Force. And that's what powers a lightsaber. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do that...
It has to mean something. Yes.
Yeah. All it meant to in the world of, like, the book and then the movie was, okay... That's how we were able to power the Death Star.
Yeah, like, and she had a charm, and that was it.
Like, okay, that's interesting. That, like, the Death Star was basically just firing a giant lightsaber at Alderaan.
Yeah,
that's cool. But they set it up to do more than they did.
Somebody brought up, which totally flew by my head. James Luceno, mm-hmm. author of Catalyst, also wrote Dark Disciple and. Tarkin.
Yeah, James Luceno's dope.
No, I'm not discrediting the author for anything. Like, it seems like he had an idea for this. And one of the things I want to say when we were talking about the length mm-hmm. is we got short prequel stories to The Force Awakens, and they were wonderful. It was in a small book called Before the Awakening, mm-hmm. and we got small stories from Finn, Poe, and Rey. And it was just what you needed to set you up. And if they took the same route here... And gave us a little bit with the Ursos, a little bit with Baze and Chirrut, a little bit with Captain Andor and K2SO.
A little bit with Krennic. Like.
That's the thing, is like this one is with the Ursos and Krennic, or Krennic and Tarkin. Maybe, hopefully, there's still hope for that yet, even though Rogue One is one and done.
Well, they just announced the new book.
The Rise of the Rebel, or the Rebel Rising?
Rebel
Rising, yeah.
The Jin Erso story.
Yeah, it's like the Jin Erso. And I don't know if that's something that they might be... Who knows? It might be really, really great. It just...
It's a reaction
to the
way people felt about the movie.
Yeah.
And they were like, we needed to know more about Jin. This book didn't give it to us.
But what this book did give us was, like I said, like some great government stuff. The whole thing with him and the Genosians talking about how they have to keep working because they're like a hive mind and all. That stuff was really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, so they'll overthrow each other, and that's why the war is on Genosis and all that, because you guys... You know, the worker bees have to keep working. If they don't, there's like a revolt, and it's like crazy. So that was cool. The Tarkin stuff was cool. And even like seeing Krennic being like that social climber, like that was kind of cool. But when we circle back to Galen and Lyra, it just lost steam for me every time.
A lot of folks in the chat are very interested that we're going this this route with our review.
That we were left.
Are they agreeing?
They're very surprised by a lot of people saying I liked it, and we're not saying that you shouldn't like this book. This is a different type of book than what we were expecting.
And also, like, here's the thing: it's like I had issues with it, but it's similar to like I had issues with Rogue One. I still enjoyed it, by far overall, and I enjoyed Catalyst. Like, maybe it's not my favorite of the Star Wars books, but like, I enjoyed it. Like, when I was done, I was like, that was fun. It just, like, it had problems. Like I said, I had trouble getting into it. And I pushed through because, like, I've come to trust that, like, there will be value in these books if I can get through the end. And there was. There was definitely interesting stuff in there. It just could have been better if it was shorter.
Yeah, because...
there was more they could do.
It definitely... When you say push through, that's a good... Because... I got to a point where I was just like, come on, what are we? And then when we got to Tarkin and then we started to learn like the inner government workings and stuff, I was like, oh, I like this stuff. This is cool. But then it would circle back to Galen and I'd just be like, oh, man.
I liked learning about how Vader and Tarkin and the Emperor felt about Krennic. It made it made the scenes in the movie feel less like, oh, they're not even giving him a chance. Like, instead of feeling bad for him, which, like, during their arguments, I kind of felt bad for him that Tarkin was taking over. Now it's like, oh, well, he's been being a jerk to them this whole time.
He's been the, like, kind of like the social climber, advantageous guy.
But it's also just like, hey, we need you to do this. Okay, just wait a little. Just hold on. Like, I'm going to hold on.
I'll do
just
it when wait. I feel like
no,
it.
No, we need results. Hey, I got a system. What about this guy you've been telling us about? He's not ready yet, but you said, like, he's wasting Empire's time and money.
Yeah, he is.
So I don't blame that he's the black sheep of the Empire.
Some people do agree with us.
That's
George
good.
Stanley says, I'm definitely in agreement with your guys' take on the book. It was enjoyable, just not great. Definitely not in my favorites of the new canon.
Yeah, if this isn't, like, people go, hey, so these Star Wars books, are there any good? I always push with Lost Stars. Go read Lost Stars. Fantastic. Then I'd probably push for Aftermath, the third one coming out soon, which we might do a show on as well.
When does that come out?
I think spring or summer.
I'm ready to finish that trilogy.
I need to get through the second one still.
I couldn't get through the first one. I'm sorry, man. I tried.
I mean, I tried
twice, and I was just like, I can't do it.
We'll get there. We'll get to it. One of the things that I wanted to mention is I think they also he picked the wrong stuff. Well, so the story wasn't essentially about the things that were happening on these planets, like the strip mining of entire systems just for supplies for the Death Star. But it would always be like, we're about to do something evil, and then cut away, cut back. Oh my God, something evil happened. Why don't you just walk us through the evil thing? That it's something that happened in the prequels. It's something that happened in Rogue One that people still get on my case about. But what did you say? How about we go outside? Oh, whatever, I can't remember. What's that girl on Dr. Phil? Whatever. they say, hey, interesting stuff is about to happen. And interesting stuff has happened. And they leave it at that. They don't show us the interesting stuff.
We're not going to show you.
and not to say, again, this is just not our type of book.
Yeah.
So much time spent on stuff that isn't as important. My favorite bit about the Kuiper crystals is when Orson goes, look, we have, like, right after the Empire comes to be in the end of the Clone Wars, like, check out all these Kuiper crystals we found. And then he leaves, and Lyra's like, those were from lightsabers. Like, that one bit made me go, crap. We're going to get into some Jedi conspiracy stuff.
It was like, wow. And then even when he was breaking down the thing to Galen, kind of like, oh, well, I'm a scientist and I'm not into war. You know, I'm not for either side. And he's like, but you know you've been getting funded by war profiteers. Don't play like you're this, you know, blameless dove. you know where these people get their money from. So, you know, you're... Come on home to the Empire. He's like, come on home.
Like, you tricked me! Dude, we didn't trick any... We told you what was up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, it's that... that's the part of some of the stuff that was interesting. It's like, he's a scientist, and, like, there is this struggle with scientists. Like, if you create something with an intention for good, like, are you responsible if other people take your creation and do something terrible with it?
Yeah.
And he was just trying to create an energy source.
Yeah.
Renewable energy.
And he wound up creating a, like, genocide weapon.
Yeah.
It's the Manhattan Project. Yeah. To the nth degree. But you're right, but, like, they just, like, they could have gone into other places.
Or they just could have, like, when Tarkin was on Salient, the Salient 1 and 2, going against Haas, and that, like, they were trying to create confusion to keep them busy.
Yeah, and the whole setup thing.
Like, that was... cool. That was interesting, because it's like, oh, we got fighters coming here, and we got to determine whether we're going to put ground troops here, but no, they're just going to mobilize on another part of the system and hear that. And I was like, cool. And then it stopped. And then all of a sudden, everything was fine. Wait. No. I want to go. Yeah. Let's go back to that.
And
I
then
hear
you hear
about that.
You hear, like, oh, I was set up. And then you're
how?
Like, yeah, it's like.
Tell us how you were set up.
Like, I wanted to see the part where it's like, Tarkin's like, Krennic. And, like, you know, I would have, like, that would have been great to have, you know. And then, did they meet again after that? I don't think they met again after that.
I think there was just the conversation while he was in traffic.
Yeah.
Was the last time they talked.
Yeah, I don't think they met again after that. So maybe their first meeting is when Tarkin comes and is like, I'm glad you finished this Death Star finally, but,
hey, what up?
I'm going to go in and take this.
The nice Death Star you have here.
Really,
oh, like, what's this? The pink slip.
I'm going to go in and take this for a test drive.
Yeah. Hey, why don't you wait over there? I'm going to take this to Alderaan.
Yeah.
And I'll just be right back.
Oh, by the way, I told on you. You got to go talk to Death.
Later. By the way, Aaron Bloom in the chat let us know that this ends 4 years prior to Rogue One.
4 years.
According
4 years.
To
okay.
Wikipedia.
Thank you,
okay.
Wookiees. They're the smartest.
Yeah. Well, he also says that Lyra was awesome in the book. Part of what added to that opening.
Mm.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And seeing how the tension between her and Orson I kept thinking about that scene at the beginning of the movie. Like, how many times did she want to pull a blaster on him? Yeah. How just like...
And the other way around.
Yeah, seriously.
Mm-hmm. Because you could tell that Krennic was kind of like, if I could just get her out of the way,
Galen's mine.
But the only thing is, Galen probably can't function without her.
And you won't be able to understand him because she translates
yes.
the notes.
But
so,
then, this is one of the issues with the books, that they set up this like need, and then he sort of goes off without her,
mm-hmm.
and is like, okay.
Well, I think the notes that he left. You know, he didn't change any of his notes in the system, as they mentioned. So when they come back to him after four flipping years, they're like, we need polish. There's just that one extra little bit that we need to finish everything, and then we'll be good. So I think they got as far as they could, and what little was left to be done wasn't necessarily that hard to figure out, because the main Kyber work was done. The main Kyber work was understood enough to get done within 2-3 years so that they could put everything together on the last bit.
Yeah, Michael Harris in the chat says, I feel like this book was more about the creation of the Death Star and Galen's story was more of a side story.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see that. I think I was trying to understand the purpose of the characters so that I can try to... feel a little bit into them more, like his science buddies, like the dude that he fought at the party on that one planet
that kind of just didn't really
just everybody's dying, whatever.
There's some different opinions on Haas though.
I saw that.
Like Blasted Heat says Haas Abbott was lame, worst part. Slim said Haas was cool. Aaron Bloom says loved Haas, hope he'll be in Han Solo. There's a few people who said in the chat that they think
they liked him that much.
Be a character, maybe even just like a background, like one of those like little ways to like acknowledge the like the new canon.
Yeah.
Universe.
Yeah, there's a couple characters that I would like to see.
Because I do like the fact that he was kind of like, hey, man, I'm a regular guy. You know, I'm just minding my business in this galaxy. I'm just doing my thing.
Vanilla.
And then he finds a way to kind of like get over on them to get out. I guess, how did you guys feel about Saw's kind of like depiction in this? Do you think it was...
Dude, that was a crazy 4 years, because he seemed like he was relatively all right. Yeah. And it's those last 4 years that, we don't know if he lost his leg or his arm, during these 4 years, or if he had him or whatever. But these last 4 years messed with him hard.
Yeah. And 4 years of war, I feel like, would do that to
him. Well, also, fighting through the second half of the Clone Wars,
yeah.
Losing family... Losing comrades, losing all of the Jedi, I think all of the people that gave you that last extra bit of courage to start your fight, being annihilated. This is before he shows up on Rebels. So I also thought we got a little bit of a thing about the Geonosians working on the Death Star. I thought we would get one last thing is we need to hide the energy. Like, I thought there would be one line or something to connect that to Rebels, but it was enough of a connection already. I liked it. I really did like Saw's inclusion. I think it was just enough. Though, I thought, who knows how much he visited Jyn within those 4 years, but
yeah.
Seeing the beginning of their friendship was pretty cute. It's pretty adorable.
Cool.
Hoover
yeah.
Space.
I thought, I liked it, but I do feel that it's weird between Clone Wars, the animated series, Rebels, and the book, and then the Rogue One movie. Even though those are different periods of his life, I feel like his depictions have kind of been like this, where it's like, wait, hold up, you had like this fired up guy in the Clone Wars, then, but he's also relating to different. He's relating to Galen. He's not trying to fight him, so you would be more. Kind of just
and even seeing
chill
him,
Saw.
And seeing, you know? Seeing him with the other smugglers, he also is... He tries to keep it like, yeah, we got to... All this stuff's got to stop. He's not... Everybody's on his team.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to go that extra degree. Maybe there's something that happened recently where he had to peel it back a little bit.
Okay, who knows?
But yeah. What did you think about Saw?
I mean, it was, to me, it was like he, like, just dropped in. It was more of like a, hey, remember, this character is...
It's a wacky neighbor, Sagara!
When I read it, I hadn't met him yet.
Oh, okay.
I had no context.
Oh, okay.
Except that I knew the name from press stuff.
Okay.
Things. But like,
he's like, oh, it's a character from Clone Wars!
I never watched Clone Wars.
No, but I mean, like, that was why it was in the press. Was because...
Yeah. Like, that's why I was aware that, like, oh, this is the character that's in Rogue One.
Cool.
But I had no connection to the character, so it was just like, all right, this is setting up for somebody I will get to know better.
Mm-hmm. Slim brought this up in the chat, and it was because... And I'm only saying it before I forget, because it was something I wanted to talk about. How did you feel about Orson... only once, begrudgingly, referring to Jyn by name? It was always the child. There's one time at the end of a chapter where he goes, Jyn, but never referring to her by name. It's like a Mr. Burns syndrome on The Simpsons. Like, what is that guy's name again?
It's perfect for it's in his mind. It's a calculation. Like, he can't give it. If he acknowledges that she has a name, then he's acknowledging that he's going to like mess up this family.
Mm.
That like these are real people. Like,
yeah.
Galen is an asset to him.
Mm-hmm.
An asset cannot be a father who has to care for another human being. Like, even as terrible as he is, he still, I don't think, it, like, wants to murder these people.
Yeah.
Or murder people in general. Like, he's willing to get the job done.
Yeah, but he's more of the kind of, like, slimy corporate guy that just wants to, you know, kind of screw anyone over to get a higher position.
Yeah.
You know, he's, everything else is kind of secondary. And I do think, like you said, you know, I don't want to acknowledge that these people have lives. Like, Galen is a guy that is going to finish my Death Star. That's it. Yes, we went to school together. Yes, I helped him, this, that, and the third. But I helped him because I saw him as someone who I might be able to ride a coattail later on in life, or even currently, because they kind of, like, mentioned how, oh, he was real smart. They knew each other. It kind of, like, played him close. But it wasn't because Galen was, like, so cool and he just wanted to hang out with him. He probably saw Galen as someone, and he's like, oh, that guy's going somewhere. Yeah. Okay. I might want to stick close just in case, you know, because they were both kind of like engineer type guys.
Yeah.
So I agree. The child was because he didn't want to validate, you know, Jen's life.
All right. Makes sense. Really quickly, a correction. I apologize. I misspoke earlier when I mentioned that James Luceno had written Dark Disciple. That was incorrect. Christy Golden wrote Dark Disciple. James, the other book that James Luceno wrote was Plagueis. Thank you to the Sir Uno in chat. And cool. Somebody else corrected me as well. I know that sounded wrong. The chat moved really fast. I apologize. Regardless. This book. You know?
It's like, oh, this book.
Like, weekend warrioring this book was a little rough. Like, again, that's on me for trying to rush this book in a weekend. This isn't something that I would take to the beach, you know, enjoy with a nice drink. But, you know, the text is nice, and we got book parts.
Ooh.
I'm just trying to pull positives here. No, yeah, it's very nice. The physical book, which
I didn't have because I did the audio one, is beautiful.
Let's take a listen. That's a solid book right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
it is physically there.
Yes.
It is not a liquid or a gas.
Yeah, it is a real, you know, well put together item or product of Star Wars lore. But I think if it was shorter, I could have been a lot. Because being someone who watched the movie first and saw this second, I was interested in Tarkin Krennic, the government stuff, and the rest. I was just like, eh.
Well, I think the interesting part about reading this after the fact is then if you have issues with the movie, you look to the book to be like, well, what can fix the issues that I had? So that makes it also a little bit more pick and choosy. Some of the stuff, I mean, this has, you know, a fraction to do with the movie. I saw somebody said that it really sets up that first half hour, like, really well. But aside from, I mean, that's not ultimately what our movie's about. Does anybody think that this book made Rogue One better?
It made that opening scene better, but that's it.
For me, it didn't really do anything for the movie except the Tarkin and Krennic scenes.
Yeah.
Now, I do think it did something for the Star Wars lore as far as, like, because, you know, I like the government stuff, especially the transition to power stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't think this, for me, if I didn't have this book, I'd still be like, oh, Rogue One is sweet. Like, I wouldn't think, you know, like, this book didn't enhance Rogue One for me in any way.
Yeah. For some of the stuff that I got from Rogue One, I will say one of the things that I did want is I wanted to know more about Orson Krennic and why he was the way that he was, what set him up. Because for a lot of our other villains, we got to see their story, prequels notwithstanding. And he seemed so interesting because we hadn't had a real hard human character that was such a threat. Why was he so instrumental in this? Why is he shouting at Vader or whatever? Why is he shouting at whoever he was shouting at? Why was he in scenes that weren't ever shown in the movie?
Shouting at Tarkin. He knew better on Vader.
Shouting at Tarkin.
He was like, well, you know, I just got things to do. You know?
Stop. So, yeah. Like, a lot of the things that people pulled from the movie were the wonderful relationship between Chirrut and Baze and their friendship. So people wanted more of that. People wanted a little bit more of K2. People maybe want a little bit more of Cassian. People wanted maybe a little bit more of Jin.
I wanted more. Like, for me, my big need after the movie was I needed more Jin. I need more of Jin's story. Like, her backstory. And, like, what, how she wound. Like, I get, like, the beginning and, like, how she got to where the movie picked up with her.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed that more of that middle part to get into her character. That was the big thing was missing.
Like the time that she spent with Saw?
Yeah, like, just her formative years. Like that was what I didn't get in that movie and what I felt it needed to make it better than it was.
Mm-hmm.
But some people did like No Sapiens Land in the chat says Catalyst made the death of Galen much more dramatic. Which I'll grant that scene too.
I'll grant
was
that
also one. Affected by it. It did also color my like feelings about Krennic a little more. Like I knew who he was. I feel like it's impossible to say just on a personal level. Like I feel like I would have connected about the same to his like scenes like with Vader and all that without even without Catalyst.
Yeah.
I mean,
what I had said earlier was his character was as such to make me go, oh, I want to know more about him.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I need more to care. Not like that. the Sir Uno in chat mentioned that February 17th is the date of the new Aftermath release.
Okay.
So there's a new book that we won't read for a couple months and then talk about on the show.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's soon.
Yeah, that's really soon. They're releasing these. I have Ahsoka and still haven't read that yet.
Yeah, I got to get up on that.
Yeah.
I just pre-ordered the next Aftermath book.
It's like just now?
Yeah, I clicked it.
Pre-order.
I'm happy that I read this book. Will I read it again? Maybe not. Will I let folks borrow it? Probably. I'm excited to watch Rogue One again. To see how I'm affected now, knowing more about these characters. Man, too many books. There's just way too many books. Yes. And it takes a lot to make a stew.
What are you reading next? Not for the show, but just what are you reading next? Just
Star
for
Wars
leisure.
Wise?
Yeah.
I mean, I have Ahsoka in my possession. So there's that. Knowing that the new Aftermath is coming out soon, I want to finish the second one. We had somebody in chat, I don't remember who, somebody said that they couldn't get through the first Aftermath, but loved the second one.
Oh, okay.
So maybe I'm done with mine if you want to borrow it.
Maybe I'll try to, because I think I got, I can't remember how many hours I got into the audiobook, but I was just like, I just don't.
And now, since I know you two do audiobooks a little bit more than reading, my drive just got a little bit more intense, but because we're running out of time, I felt I should just read it. What of the audiobooks of the new canon would you recommend to me or anybody else listening?
Dark Disciple. Yes.
Dark Disciple.
Okay. I haven't read Dark Disciple. I really love Bloodline, but I think you've read that one.
I read that one, yeah.
I listened to Lost Stars. I listened to the Aftermath books. A New Dawn is just like impressive in its scale of an audiobook. Because they have a full voice cast and full sound effects and music. That's the thing about the audiobooks for Star Wars. That's Disney has not held back in putting money and effort into these. They're not just like, hey, we paid a guy to stand in a room and read this book to you. They edited it. Everyone has music and some sound cues to go with them. Everyone. Not all of them have full voice casts. But they've all had good narrators, some better than others.
Mm-hmm.
But they've all been a joy to listen to.
Okay.
So if you're out there and you haven't read Bloodline, that's my favorite one so far. But I think that's just my favorite book so far.
Oh, okay.
Well, finding out from the chat that Ashley Eckstein does the Ahsoka audiobook.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes me a little sad that I've already bought the book. The physical book. There's a lot.
I think I'm going to do Lost Stars next. I think I'm going to do that.
You haven't read that one yet?
Mm-mm.
Get on our level.
Yo, it's so good. So good.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that next.
So that'll be it for this episode of Jedi Alliance. So thank you, everybody.
Thrawn coming out.
There is the Thrawn book. Yes,
that's
when
I'm
going to
get
year.
The audiobook and the real book. And I'm like not going to touch the real book.
And the deluxe edition, which comes with a little figure of Thrawn.
Like that this. Sounds cool.
It's not.
Is it in a cutout?
I would hope so.
You push it out.
You get two versions of the book. One of them where you cut it out and it's him. And then the other one where it's him.
No, there's like a pop-up version. Every page has like a little rectangle cut out of it. So like when you open it.
You have to read around it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So if you're not watching us live or listening to us live, which you can't, make sure you leave a comment down below to let us know what your favorite books have been from the new canon. If you've read Catalyst, what do you think about it? We want to know. We will respond to you. We'll love you. But until next time, Zach, thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful episode. Tell the folks where they can find you and a little bit about Sci-Fi Weekly if they don't watch it yet.
Yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Every Sunday, it's a couple hours before this show, me and Jessica Klein and our new panelist, Haley O'Connor, we break down a movie or just a movie topic or a TV show within science fiction. Like this week, we talked about the movie I, Boy that just came out on Netflix, which is ridiculous. It has Maisie Williams in it. It's a ridiculous movie, but we got into it. Next week, we're talking about The Space Between Us, which is the Asa Butterfield movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we're going to have the set designer
very cool
joining us in studio. So like we have,
can't believe
we
have, it's not Butterfield.
Yeah, we do have some, oh, God. we do have some fun guests on that show, and we do silly, ridiculous like comedy segments at the top. Where we joke about everything. Like, we were talking about how The Last Jedi, they should really just have put them on the endangered species list.
Boo. But for your show next week, you should probably get some Mars bars. Michael, what are you up to this week, and where can the folks find you? Oh, where can the folks find you? Did you say your Twitter?
Yeah, I
okay. Yes. Sorry, I want to make sure.
I don't need to repeat it. You guys can just rewind.
Nice.
Ooh.
Michael.
You can check me out on YouTube at Nerd Soul. You can just search Nerd Soul. I'm there every day doing my thing. Then here, I got Jedi Alliance. Next week, you can check us out. And during the week on After Buzz, you can catch me on the Blind Spot After Show. No, they're on a break. Sorry. So you can catch me next Sunday on Sleepy Hollow After Show. Because they be on breaks. And then you can check me on Instagram, Twitter, everywhere, at One Youngster, which is O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A.
And I'm the internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. I host another show right here on this network. It's called Video Game Movie Anatomy. If you're a fan of the interactive media known as video games, we cover the film adaptations of those. And tomorrow we're going to be talking about Resident Evil, The Final Chapter, which just came out this past week. Not woohoo. But if you, I mean, that kind of buried the lead a little bit. But if you want to hear our squad talk about that, join us tomorrow at 7 p.m. live. I do also a whole bunch of shows for AfterBuzz TV as well. But if you want more information about that, follow me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Follow all of us here at The Popcorn Talk on Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Jedi Alliance, because many Bothans died to bring us this book and this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.